came from outer space to fill the world with terror, to bring you unforgettable suspense.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it.
Shock Tales with Johnny Thunder.
For the man who fills his inner emptiness with comics, horror movies, and kiddie porn, it's Johnny Thunder Esquire.
I never thought these could degenerate any worse than they have before, and it just gets worse and worse every month. I love it. I'm so tired. I will miss this, Chris. I will really miss the ball busting. So
going down, how low can you go?
That's
how low can you go?
How is you, genius? What's up?
I go outside and I look at my yard about 4 to 5 times a night. My kids are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just going out to look at the yard again.
Hot masturbation.
Yeah, you know, there's only a small window to admire your own handiwork, you know, my own handiwork. So
really? I thought you did that pretty much 365, 24/7. Hey, I was going to say, the Village Mire looks very, very cool. You sent me the slideshow the other night. I really, really dig it.
Yeah, it's come a long way, baby.
Well, I mean, you've raped all of our sponsors for props, so.
There's not really that many out there.
Okay.
You know? But it's the ones that you don't see. Actually, it's the ones that most of the pneumatics, like from Brent, Fog Juice, like all the stuff that hasn't really been used yet.
What about your dog's bloody paw?
I'm like, oh, don't talk about my dog.
You want to tell the story how your dad fought?
Zero. Yes, because I'm a bad dog father. I was putting out the first Saturday. What was it? Actually, not even the first Saturday. It was the last Saturday of the month.
The last Saturday.
Of September. And I decided, all right, everything's going out. You know, everything's going out right now.
Sure.
So I started putting everything out, and the side gate, I thought I had pulled it tight and the latch had clicked, and I guess it did not. So I had to go run up the street. I just ran up to Dunkin' Donuts, and I get a call from one of my neighbors saying, hey, Chris, we got Zero down here, and his paw's bleeding. I'm like, for Christ's sake, I was just there 10 minutes ago. So I race back here. Yeah, he snuck out, got hit by a car within like 10 minutes. So Zero does not just go right through cars or, you know, through walls. And he actually gets hit by cars. And
oh, my goodness. Is he all right? So he's all right?
Not just the ghost dog that you see. He's all right. Yeah, nothing really broken. No major surgery is going to have to be done. Lots of anal probing, you know, stuff like that. But
enough about your penis. Me? Oh, I'm doing really well. Thanks. Yeah, the Base Motel's been open now for a couple weekends.
Oh, yeah, really? That's excellent. You started asking me about the freaking dog. You know?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. Yeah,
by the way, speaking of broken legs.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm back online in crowd entertainment, which is what I wanted, which is pretty kick-ass. So Bubba's back out there loving and eating the ladies.
Bubba's hey. Badass.
Hey now. I've had a good time. Like I said, we've been open for we open like 2 weekends and we're closing between, and then we open, I think, on the 11th straight through November 3rd. Been fun. I really have to say, I think this is our best year that I've been there yet. A lot of great actors, great costumes, do great scenes, and we've been freaking busy, dude. I mean, the crowds, the first 2 weekends compared to the past few years that I've been there, just like off the hook. I mean, it's
right, right out of the gate, people are pouring in, huh?
Yeah, it's been crazy. So, again, I've been having a blast. I mean, I've just been having a lot of fun. So, you know, like I said, it's a long month.
Especially when you hold down a normal gig and then do this on the side. I mean, you have that full-time gig being the Shock Tail Hour Master of Ceremonies.
Right, and then, right. With those royalties.
Hard to squeeze in that extra haunt, you know, working a haunt.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, the royalties from Hauntcast and still from Shock Tail Hour roll in, you know, with all the marketing and the, you know, the action figures.
Syndication for Shock Tail Hour coming
soon.
I know.
I'm big in Singapore. You know, John Leong really is, you know, has cornered the market for me. I'm having fun. Like I said, I'm exhausted. Like, it's always like beforehand or like during the week or, you know, I'm always like, oh my God, I have to go tonight. I think to myself, my God, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? But when I'm actually in the moment, it's awesome. You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want. You run around. It's just like I said, I love ad-libbing. I love talking. I love getting in people's faces. I love just being in the crowds. And it's just been fun. You know, like I said, this is probably my favorite year so far. You know, even though it's been crowd and the crowds, frankly, you know, make it. I mean, you know, you have a good crowd. I mean, you feed off of them. I mean, there's a synergy, you know, between the actor and the crowd. When you have that, it makes it go, you know, fast. You have a lot of fun. You know, everyone's enjoying the experience. And like I said, I'm out there. You know, I get scares, but a lot of the times I'm also just doing shtick. And I kind of play it up as a little more, I don't want to say corny, but funny.
And
you know,
you're also kind of a camera op, like you're a photo op type.
Exactly.
Thing, right?
Exactly. So like that's I mean, I've been doing like a bunch of. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of selfies and a lot of pics, and it's fun. You know what I mean? Like I said, and that to me is promotion. I mean, that's free promotion. You know, you have all these people taking your picture. They put it on Instagram. They put it on Facebook. You know, they're putting it on, you know, whatever else they do. I mean, that's free publicity. You can't buy that publicity. You know what I mean? So I just have a lot of fun with it, and I'm, again, honored the fact that, number one, they asked me back, you know, and then the fact that they want me back on crowd and entertainment, you know, crowd and line to be face of the haunt. So,
yeah, I think you really need to get an agent involved here, is what I'm thinking about.
Well, I got to tell you,
start getting somebody negotiating for you. You know, you're obviously, you know, big time now. So,
well, I was going to say, I'm obviously an awesome. Well, dude, I've been telling you since, you know, year one, I'm an awesome effing talent. I mean,
yeah, just ask around.
I was going to say,
and look, I did.
Look, I know I am glamorous and exciting, but please line up one at a time. Okay? One at a time. So, dude, look, hey, we're back here at the last bar on the left, right? And, dude, I am Johnny Thunder.
Welcome. Hold on. Wait.
Yes?
Two more over here, please. Thank you. All right,
bye. As we said, we're back here at the last bar on the left. My name is Johnny Thunder. Welcome to Shock Tales. This month is brought to you by the letters FF, FU, and GFY, as well as the numbers 69 and 420. On my end of the bar, my drunken lunacy is brought to you by the new Victory Beer, Dirt Wolf Double IPA. What about you, genius? What are you chugging?
You did some writing for this episode. I appreciate
you like that.
That.
You like show prep?
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Well,
so
we've only had 7.5 weeks between segments.
And on my end, podcast is brought to you by Vermont's own Wallivers Fine Organic Pumpkin Ale. Drink enough, and you'll fall on your squash. It's a liquid jack-o'-lantern for your taste buds.
Whoa.
Wallivers!
I get nervous when I hear you say liquid and jack. Moving on. Let's move on to the first segment. Cleverly enough, I called it mixed nuts. So, Chris, please keep your hands off of my mixed nuts. Hey, show friends, the Bloody Jug Band. I want to give them a scream out this season. They are great show friends. They've been on the show at least twice, I think. They have a new video out called Roadkill Boys. And, dude, you and I actually contributed to that Kickstarter, if you remember.
Yeah.
It's an awesome video. They sort of have these, like, Muppets and their video. It's a great track. It's a great video. Go check it out on YouTube. And apparently they have some new music coming soon, dude. So Creighton wants to come back on the show. I told him, you know what, why don't we hold off? We'll do a little bit of an interview and some music when your new disc is out. Go over to their site, bloodyjugband.com, for all the 411.
So they got a full-length LP coming out on vinyl at some point?
I believe so, and I think it's bubblegum pink.
Ah, sweet. I always love colored vinyl.
Sweet. I like, yeah, do you remember? I had like blue vinyl. I forget who put out a blue vinyl.
I have this this thing I put together. It's all this vinyl that I had collected over the years. I have green, blue. It's pretty much all like all the primary colors. Green, blue, yellow,
well,
red.
Green's primary, but.
Okay, well, whatever. Red. Don't confuse me with logic.
Don't correct me with fact. All right, listen, moving on. We have so much to cover this segment. I don't want to get tied up. Now, there's a couple of new flicks that are out, and I'm so friggin' stoked for these. The first one, Eli Roth's new flick, The Green Inferno. Okay, that's his tribute to the Italian jungle cannibal flicks. And Ty West's The Sacrament. Both of these flicks have played at a couple of film festivals. They've gotten great reviews. There's a lot of really positive buzz about them. They've been picked up for American distribution. So now I don't have release dates yet, but both of these, put them on your radar because these are going to be kick-ass, especially Roth's Green Inferno. I mean, if anybody out there is a fan of Cannibal Holocaust or Last Cannibal World or Cannibal Ferox, any of the cannibal films, and from Italy, this is Roth's interpretation. I think it's going to be so badass. I can't wait to see them in the theater. And one final thing I want to mention in terms of upcoming projects. There's this project, I think, is the cat from Australia? Or I think it's Australia, isn't he? Something. Well, anyway. The Arkesville Homicides, okay? It's proposed to be the world's first CG animated horror web series. And the kid sent us an email and said, look, hey, dude, I'm trying to do something different. I'm trying to do this web series. And if you guys could check it out, you know, if you can contribute some money to the project, you know, please do so. So we'd said, you know what, dude, we'll give you a plug. I'll put the link up on the website, but definitely check it out. It's interesting. As we said, it's going to be a CG animated horror web series. Silver Scream. I want to talk about some now playing and upcoming flicks. Shockingly, dude, there are a ton of flicks playing in October because apparently there's some people in the movie industry that think horror and Halloween have something to do with each other.
No.
I don't know why. I don't know.
That's crazy talk.
It is crazy talk. But I'm going to burn through these unless you've scripted some sort of witty, interjection.
You burn through these and I'll burn through something else.
The bunch of these flicks are now playing. The first one is We Are What We Are. This is the remake of the 2010 Mexican film about a family of urban cannibals. The first flick, the original flick, I thought was just okay. I know there's a lot of fans out there that really, really dig that one. I just thought it was okay. I'm not going to really check out the remake, but if you dig that kind of thing, go for it. Also currently playing theaters and video on demand is Bad Milo, a horror comedy about a guy who learns that his unusual stomach problems are being caused by a demon living in his intestines. Or as I like to call it, you know, Sunday night after I watch an Eagles game and have too many cheesesteaks, beer, and hot wings. It's like, okay. I know, it kind of looks, it reminds me of, the little monster reminds me of, like, Basket Case. Remember Basket Case?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what the little thing looks like. So I hope to watch that and review it on the next show. But also currently playing Nothing Left to Fear. This is from Slash, okay? So Slash has a production company, and this flick's about a pastor and his family who moved to a small town in Kansas. And soon these horrible things start happening. Their teenage daughter is tormented by grisly visions. Her younger sister has been marked for sacrifice, and they have to try to stop the unleashing of the creatures of the damned. Another one. Hey, Danny Trejo. You know, Machete Kills is coming out in theaters soon, mm-hmm. which I cannot wait to see. But he also has a flick on video on demand called Zombie Hunter, which is set in a post-apocalyptic wasteland inhabited by, guess what? Any guesses?
Let's see. Giant purple people eaters.
Oh, that actually might be more entertaining. This is zombies, unfortunately, because, you know, I was even burned out on zombies like maybe 10 years ago. It's such an easy kind of cop-out in terms of films. You know, all you do is, you know, slap on some shitty makeup and, hey, look, it's a zombie. But anyway, so this is like, I don't know, Treo plays this like hunter who's one of the survivors, and he meets up with some other survivors, and they're running around, and then zombies attack, and they're trying to, you know, survive. And I'm sort of like, it sounds like a poor man Zombieland, or, you know, a bunch of other flicks that we've seen before. But I love Treo. I don't know how big his part in the film is. Maybe it is just a payday. I don't know. But if you like him, maybe you want to check that out. Now, coming out October 11th is Where the Devil Hides, which, again, this one sounds just like that Slash movie we just talked about. Apparently, young girls start going missing within a religious cult, and older members fear that a long-told prophecy is coming true, while the young girls suspect that the older people are killing them. Okay. I just read this crap. Anyway. But, dude, like, really? I don't know. Like, I just want to put this on your radar. I don't want to watch any of these, but, you know, I love to torment other people. October 18th is something that I actually would like to sit through. It's called Birth of the Living Dead. And no, it's not zombies having babies, because that would be really, really weird. But it's a documentary chronicling how George Romero made a film called Night of the Living Dead. You ever hear of that one, Chris?
Noddled.
Yeah, exactly. You know, dude, I know when I put that in the outline, I was like, is he going to pick up what noddled means? But anyway. Yeah.
I thought it was like one of those little emoticon thing type things where, like, you know, RFLO, well, whatever, rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah, the kid, big with the kids, right? Big with the kid. yeah, so anyway, it's a documentary about how they made Night of the Living Dead. I mean, which is really, it's a landmark, you know, film in terms of horror cinema. So that's something maybe to put on your radar, because I think that might be really, really awesome. Now, the same week, October 18th, is Carrie with Chloe Grace Moretz and Julianne Moore, one of my other secret girlfriends, Julianne Moore. This is a new version of, you know, the story by Stephen King. I think we all know the story of Carrie. The only thing that bugged me about this, and I know a lot of people are really looking forward to this, and a lot of people obviously dig, you know, Stephen King, but what irritates the crap out of me, and this is so common now with films, not even horror, but just films, the trailer literally blows their wad. It is every sort of, in my opinion, seminal scene in the film. You have... she's locked in the closet. She's got the pig blood. She stops the car with her telekinesis. The kids are done. You know, it's like they literally blow every effing major scene, you know? Mm. And again, whether that's because the kids need to see what's going to happen, but it really just ruins the film if you don't know the story. So I've been irritated by that. Like I said, I know a lot of people are really, really looking forward to this. Again, do we need another new version of the Stephen King book? Probably not. But, you know, these are inevitable. And I won't even say it's a remake of the film, because it's obviously based on the source material, you know, the novel by King. Anyway, October 19th, there's a flick called Screamer that's going to be played at the Flint Horror Con. That's a documentary. Apparently, they filmed this thing for like – dude, you saw the press release. It's apparently going to be filmed – it's been filmed for like 5 or 6 years, and about two cats that are trying to start either a home or I think a pro hunt. And it follows them all around the country, and it's along the lines I would think of American Scream and the Home Hunters doc that we talked about, you know, recently. So I think it's also available for purchase. So if you're anywhere near Flint, I guess Michigan, you can go check it out. Otherwise, again, I'll put up the link. And if you want to check it out, go purchase the DVD. Now, finally, the week of Halloween. Dude, there are two Halloween-themed movies that will be available. Again, why horror is associated with Halloween, I have no idea. But anyway, October 29th.
It boggles the mind.
It does, dude. It buckles the mind. October 29th, All Hallows Eve. So this thing is like, there's a babysitter, okay, and she's watching two kids on Halloween night. She finds an old VHS tape in a trick-or-treat bag. Okay, already that's the film VHS, but I won't, you know. Anyway, so she puts the tape in the VCR. Again, who has a VCR right now? Anyway, so she puts it in, and she finds three tales of terror all linked together by a murderous clown. So she watches these weird, you know, this weird anthology. As the night goes on, weird things start happening in the house, and she slowly realizes that the clowns moved out of the movie into her house. So it's almost like I said, sort of a mashup between VHS and Nightmare on Elm Street, right? You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
The
yeah, I, you know, it sounded okay until the clown part. I don't know. For some reason, that just doesn't do anything for me.
October 30th, there's another film called Mischief Night. So this has been picked up by, I think, IFC Midnight, okay? A young woman who has suffered from psychosomatic blindness since a car accident that killed her mother must summon every instinct at her disposal to protect herself from her and her loved ones from a mysterious intruder. So it's the latest in the lines of the home invasion films. Again, I like home invasion films, but, you know.
But that's also a Halloween-themed movie?
Yeah, it's apparently the night before Halloween, and I guess she's all locked up in the house. Blind, and so it's The Strangers meets, you know, Your Next meets, The Purge meets, Funny Games meets, you know, any other home invasion film. But, yeah. All right, so now we're up to the highlight of every episode. It's the reviews. And this month we have reviews of Inbred, I Spit on Your Grave 2, and Argento's Dracula. Now, dude, you caught, I hope none of these. But anyway.
I've studied better scores than this, Jeff, really.
Judge a book by its cover.
These kids are here because they're bright ones, Jeff. Why don't you just cut them a bit of slack?
Driving all day. Let's walk to the pub. It's a nice evening.
No, for strangers.
So, all right, Inbred. Now, dude, this is that English flick. It's billed as a horror comedy, and it's about a bunch of, like, teachers of, you know, children who are, like, wayward children, you know. So they decide they're going to take these bad kids out to the countryside for a weekend and try to, you know, teach them team building and all this other bullshit. And, of course, you know, it all goes horribly wrong. This is basically the British version of the, hey, a bunch of friends go out in the woods, a bunch of friends go out in the countryside, and all hell breaks loose. So these teachers, these kids, these teenagers go out to the, you know, the English countryside. They go out to this little town. They go to this bar. They have an incident with some of the town folk. And, of course, it's all downhill from there. Systematically, one by one, they're all kidnapped, abused, murdered, and otherwise disposed of by the inbred hillbilly British folk. I've always said that I'm a sucker for these kind of flicks because I always love the, like I said, you know, you go out in the woods.
The inbreeding?
Well, yes, I'm a big fan of the inbreeding. I'm actually a big fan of this genre, the anxiety about the country, the urban fear of the common folk, the countryside, whatever. But this one, for whatever reason, and I usually like foreign interpretations of what I always just call, say, you know, sort of the chainsaw film. I usually dig these flicks. This one just left me a little, you know.
There
I felt
you
like
go. It was just a little,
I felt like I've seen it before. None of the performances really stood out. None of the characters really that likable. And I know this sounds so American, jingoistic, self-absorbed, self-centered. I had a lot of hard problems with the Northern accents in this one. It was a little, you were like, wait, what? You know, it was such a craptastic film that I didn't think it warranted me trying to understand their accents. But anyway, the only thing I will say about this film, like I said, it's one by one. The teachers are killed off. The kids are killed off. And it's really not that interesting. They're dumb characters. It's really not that great. But there is one pivotal scene. It's, I'll just say, it's a cabaret scene where the local folk who run the pub, who run the town, kidnap these, they call them the outsiders, the outworlders, whatever. And they put on this bizarre, effed up cabaret. So you have these main cats like dress up these strange, the main guy's in this weird black face. You know, it's like, wait, what? It's just these weird cabaret costumes, sort of circusy things. And they have the townsfolk sitting out there watching the cabaret performers murder systematically the outsiders. And that was a little weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a great idea. I go, wow, that's really disturbing. You know, whether you want to look at it in terms of cinema or your haunt. Again, we talked about Frankenstein's Army, where when I thought one of the highlights was the idea of it would be a good inspiration for costumes, your haunt, your Halloween, you know, decorations, your yard. The same way here, I think if only you take from this film the cabaret sequence, I think it really could inspire you to do some weird shit for Halloween. Otherwise, as a film, you know, it's described as a horror comedy, so I thought maybe it was more along the lines of Shaun of the Dead. You know, and it wasn't. It was just weird. Moving on. Let's get on to I Spit on Your Grave 2, Electric Boogaloo on the rocks.
Who is it?
Hello, Miss Katie.
What are you doing here?
I'm not a bad guy.
No, I have work to do.
Hold still.
What do you want?
We all have our vices, eh? There is no cleaning this up. Goodbye, Miss Kitty.
Don't let me die, please. Don't you know like this.
Now, this is the sequel to the remake of the original. Do you got that? Okay.
Yeah.
And it's the same director who did the remake of the original. Now, I got to say, I actually dug the remake of the original from a couple years ago. Much like I've said before, Last House on the Left remake. Again, I'm not a big remake fan, but Last House on the Left, Hills Have Eyes, and I Spit on Your Grave, I think they improved on the raw exploitation films from the 70s. Now, I'm not saying those films don't have certain merits in certain ways, but in terms of filmmaking, the remakes actually, I think, succeeded the original. So, I Spit on Your Grave, too. Now, look, it repeats the theme from the first film. Okay, again, the first film or the remake of the original film.
To the T?
Exactly. So, again, as we said, it's a young model going to New York. She's trying to make her way. She's attacked. She's brutalized. She's raped. She's kidnapped to some weird Eastern European country. Maybe it's Romania. I don't even remember. And she's abused and raped and assaulted and sold into slavery. And it's just a horrific scene. And, of course, as always, she's buried alive and then miraculously resurrects, heals herself, and then exacts revenge on her attackers. The problem with this one is it just came off as a bad remix of the first film, or, again, the remake of the first film, and a mix with Hostel 2 with the bad European accents. So I really didn't dig this one. You know, the remake of the original, you know, or even the original – again, Day of the Woman. She was empowered, and where you really, as a viewer, are invested in the film is you sympathize with her through sort of the brutalization in the first half of the film, and you really want at that point, you know, it turns the tables where you're really wanting this character to seek revenge on her perpetrators. Now, what does that say about the filmmakers? What does it say about you? What does it say about society? Those are questions we could discuss. Unfortunately, I'm not the person to discuss them with. Anyway, but, you know, in the remake, it really hit home. The revenge that she found were really well done, were really apropos, were really sickening, but in an appropriate way for the situation. I thought it was really well handled, really well done. Shockingly, this director in this second film really falls flat. I guess I would blame the script and even the performances. I didn't buy the actress at all in this. She really fell apart for me in the revenge sequences. I didn't buy her. I thought she was overacting. I thought there was a lot of screaming when she didn't need to be screaming. Those Eastern European cats were all hard to understand. I didn't get it, you know. And she spent an inordinate amount of time down in tunnels with rats, and she's eating rats. And it was just a weird scene. It's a joyless, really unappealing kind of cash grab because this is right straight to video. I didn't dig it, and I was surprised because I thought maybe, well, you know, again, not that this is something that can be franchised, but I thought it would be a little bit better than it was, and I really didn't dig it at all. So I would say if again, it's hard to say you're a fan of rape revenge films, but I would say the remake of the original, you know, the first I Spit on Your Grave remake, I thought is worthy of seeing. This one, not so much.
All right, so Argento's Dracula 3D.
Wow! Hey, speaking of films that I'm not sure that I can really recommend, Dario Argento did Dracula, and in the theaters, apparently it's in 3D. I saw it on demand.
Nosferatu.
Lena! Thank you. How was your trip?
I am Count Dracula. Wait.
Father, you know what is happening.
God, I command you, go back!
It gives him extreme power.
You were wrong to turn against me.
Directed by legendary Italian filmmaker Dario Argento, starring his daughter, Asia, and Rutger Hauer as Van Helsing. This is pretty much, pretty much a retelling of Bram Stoker's classic tale. A little bit different than maybe some of the Dracula films we've seen before. It's definitely different. The structure, the storytelling, the characters, the interaction of characters is a little bit different from things we've seen before. I don't know what to say about it other than that without giving it to, I mean, who the hell doesn't know what the Dracula story is? You know, I'm not going to tell, you know, sit here and tell you what it is. But this is weird in the sense that I think what he was going for, it really looks like a Hammer film. Okay, so I think Argento's going for sort of an homage or a reinterpretation of the Hammer films from the 50s and 60s through the lens of the Italian filmmakers, because there's blood, there's nudity. But does it work as a film? Does it work as an Argento film? No. Now, that being said, after I watched the film, I read some reviews. I don't think it's as bad as the most brutal, savage reviews that you will read. Nor do I think it's as good as some of the reviews I've seen. So it's not horrible, but is it something I can recommend? No. Performance-wise, it's always hard to judge these because it is dubbed into English. So it's a little bit weird. Rutger Hauer doesn't have a lot to do, but I like him. It's, you know, interesting. The other thing is there's a lot of weird liberties taken with the story. And I'm going to ruin this a little bit because it was one of the scenes where reviews have, you know, questioned it. And my jaw kind of dropped. At one point, Dracula turns into a giant praying mantis.
Okay.
Okay, so if you ever wanted to see Dracula not be a bat or a wolf, he's a giant praying mantis.
Okay.
And it's a little off-putting in a weird way, but, you know, I sat there and I go, wow, that's kind of fucked up, and I'm completely hammered, and, well, that's weird. It's really a very gothic, romantic, as I said, Hammer-esque take on the Dracula story. It's a little weird. Is it great? No. Is it horrible? No. Would you pay for it? I paid for it, but I don't know if you should pay for it. So if you can kind of check it out for free or check it out for cheap, maybe check it out, but have fun with it. It might even be one of those kind of like, you know, Mr. Science Theater kind of things where you all sit around and kind of go, oh my God, this is weird, or, you know, kind of bust balls. But, you know, unfortunately, it really didn't live up to what I was expecting. So, you know, in terms of our three movies this month, I don't know that I can recommend anything for Halloween. My recommendations for Halloween, go back and watch
Trick or Treat.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, TMC, Turner is showing a bunch of classic films this month. AMC Fear Fest is starting pretty soon. Go watch that. Dude, American Horror Story started. The Walking Dead started. You know, go check those out. You know, and there's so much else out there. And if anyone else wants recommendations for Halloween viewing, hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on email, johnnythunderhc@hotmail.com. I'd be happy to help you out. But otherwise, there's so much else out there. Like I said, Turner and AMC's got a lot of stuff coming up. So that is it. And I was just going to say, my brother, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Can you believe this is what, our fifth Halloween together?
It's
our fifth.
Aw, you get all sentimental on me.
What'd you buy me? A Snickers? A fun-size Snickers?
No, dude, I got you the full-size Snickers.
Oh. Yeah. I got you a big middle finger. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. As always, happy Halloween. And this is Johnny Thunder reminding you to stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.